Northampton Codel, share given on Tehillim, chapter 10, Zion, part 4, share given by Gershon Hepner on Sunday, Lamed, Shavat, Toshin, Ayin, first day, Rosh Chodesh, and, corresponding to the 14th of February 2010. Right, I'm going to go back just for a moment to Pasuk Beis, because I found this week a most wonderful book. Let me first of all say that we're doing the shiur Le'ilu Nishmas Louis' late father. His name is Baruch Ben Rav Avraham, and should be an ilui, an aliyah to the neshama.
Amen.
I'll just start off with a useful extract on at the end of Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis, Amar LaHashem, Hashem Oto, you said to God, you are my God. My good is not on you. And we saw the basic chat in Yashi is that all the good things that happen to me are not incumbent upon you. Tezayin. Are not incumbent upon you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are not hired to do all the good that you do to me. I'm not deserving of it. You're not mechut to do anything for me. A beautiful book brought in the Sefer on Tehillim by Rabbi Yosef C. Dushinsky, a Hasidic Rebbe, and I was introduced to this Sefer by one of Yaakov Haim's Rebbes in school, a wonderful teacher, a wonderful Rebbe by the name of Reb Moshe Shmuel Shisha. Reb Moshe Shmuel Shisha, and he's a Dushinsky Hasid, and he used to quote in the Sefer Kreskit, and it was a delight to hear. And then I borrowed it from him, and I thought I had to buy my own. And when I was in Exeter for Sammy Krasner's Bar Mitzvah some years ago, I bought a copy of this Tehillim. He says this, I did say what you've got, my good is not on you. He quotes from the Yalkut Shemoni in Eod, and it's Simon Mem Aleph in the Yalkut Shemoni, which reads as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Klal Yisrael, and he says, Mi kileis tefonai ad shele nosati le neshama. Who has praised me before I've given him a neshama? Nobody. Nobody can praise me before I give them a neshama. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am one step ahead of you. I give you a neshama, and therefore you are able to praise me. Mi molid no ad shele nosati le zain. Who can take the smila on his son before I've given him a son? I'll do this on your child till I give you a son. Me also tzitzis ad shalom asati letalis. Who can put tzitzis on his garment before I give him a garment? Me also marke. Who can make a parapet around the roof ad shalom asati letalis before I give him a roof? I'm always one step ahead. I give you a gift. I give you a son. I give you a talis. I give you a roof. And then you're able to react to that. You're able to act like putting the tzitzis on the beged or the ma'ake on the roof or the brismila on the sun. You have the sukkah, shalom asati lemokum. Who can make a sukkah till I give you the area, give you the land on which you can build it? Mi hefesh peyoh, shalom asati lesodeh. Who can separate peyoh from a field before I give you the field? Mi hefesh trimah masa, shalom asati legoin. Who can separate trimah masas before I give you a granary? You only separate Shemus Masses after the food comes in, after the crops come into the granary. Me hefish b'choros, umasus, the carbonus, ashelun asati le'tzen. Who can separate the chadehema or separate the carbon till I actually grant you and give you the animals in which to do so? Says Rav Yitzchak Dushinsky, this is echoed in the Pasuk. Tevasi balalecha, my goodness, that means the good that I do, can never catch up with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proactive and I am reactive. I react to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodnesses that he grants me, and I can react to them by doing mitzvahs accordingly. I can do the bris milah on the sun, I can say mitzvahs and mitzvahs and peyah and put tzitzis on the beged, but I'm reacting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Tevasi, my goodness, Balalecha, will never catch up with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always one step ahead of me. Is that nice, Jack? Right? Yeah? Yeah, I couldn't rob you of that one. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. Yivrat Svesvam, Acher Maharim. Those who chase after others, that's Acher Maharim, Yivrat Svesvam should have increased sadnesses. Bal Asich Nishkehem Yidom,
I will not join in their libations of blood, says Doris, nor will I carry their names upon my lips. So Rashi things are talking about people who serve under the Zara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says, I will not play any part of Avodah Zarah, and those people who chase after those other forms of Avodah Zarah, those other forces, you go out to some, they should have many, many sadnesses happening to them. Out to some, the word out to some, coming from the Pasuk, similar words that we have in Bereishis, where in chapter Gimel, Pasuk Kazayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Elohisha Amar, Hashem says to Chava, Hadra Ardeh, it's the nech, the hira nech, the excess tail be running. You'll bear children with difficulty. So an etzer means sadness. The Kishvot says the etzer is sadness. So here David says, those who are acher maharu, those who chase after other forces, i.e. Avodah Zarah, you go out to them, they should suffer many, many sadnesses. And then David says, commits himself, I don't have a part of it. Bal asich nesehem nidom, I will not do any of their libations of blood, or Valetzer, Shemesh, so nor will I carry their names, the names of Avodah Zarah, on my lips. I won't have a part of this. So Rashi explains, we're talking about someone who chases after Avodah Zarah, that is Acher Ma'oru, Acher, other forces, Ma'oru, they chase after them. And means Avodah Zarah. Another shot Rashi brings is beautiful for us now, today, because it ties in with yesterday's Sedra. And he says that this word Mahori, of course it can mean to hurry, those who hurry after Avodah Zarah, but he says another chapter as well. And he quotes a Pasuk from yesterday, says that Hashem is Pasuk, and it's in chapter Kaspes, Pasuk Tes Zayin, where the Pasuk speaks about someone who seduces a single girl. A Basula, she's a virgin, and she's also, and she's a single girl. Ashelo Arosa, she hasn't got Arisin, she's not an Arisa, but Shachadima, he seduces her. Says the Pasuk, Maher, and that's the same root as our word, Maher Yimharena Lola Isha. He should surely pay for her to be his wife. In other words, he should marry her and write a proper ksuba and pay her for it. So he says, this idea of Maher Yimharena ties in with our words in our process, Acher Mahoru. They have married other gods. So the word, the root meant a wish, can mean expression of marriage. Yeah. So it should be spoken of. Either means to hurry after, either can mean to hurry after Acher, Acher Mahoru, they've hurried after other gods. That's chat number one. And chat number two is they've married other gods. It comes to much the same idea, really. So when you look at it, it means they are subscribing to Avodah Zarah. Absolutely, yeah. So Acher, so the first shot is Acher Mahon, they've chased out, they've gone quickly after other gods. And the second shot is they've married other gods. In other words, they're signing up to Avodah Zarah, Acher Mahoru, from Mahoyim Harela. That passage goes on, and the next passage says, Imoin Yomoin Avialasit Alo. If her father refuses to hand over this girl to this man, after this man's a bit of a monster, isn't he? You wouldn't want to marry your daughter off to a bloke like that. But if he refuses to marry off his daughter to him, to this man, then he still has to pay. Kesef Yishkol Kamil Har Habasilis. He should still weigh out silver. He's still got to pay Kamil Har Habasilis. And I have to tell you this, a pshat which I heard many years ago from Ronnie Joseph, Joey's brother, who's also a super guy. He said it to me in the name of the Das Kain of Balei HaKosmos. He brings it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. That Kamil Har Habasilis, that word Kamil Har, spells out Kamo Reish. How much does a basula get in her ksuba? Reish, 200 zuz. It's a beautiful remez to the amount of money that a basula receives on her ksuba. Kamohar is the letters Kamo, how much? Reish, 200. Yeah, I have to put that in. Especially as Ronnie talks, it's more than years ago. So there we are. Yeah, so that's the two shots in Rotin Rashi. Two shots in Rotin Rashi that on this word Maharu. They've carried, either they've carried out after the Zohar, they've carried it after Acher, or they have married Acher. In other words, they have accepted the Zohar almost like a marriage partner. Yeah, that's the idea. Rashi then goes on to speak about I won't take part of their libations, talking about libations to have the Zohar with blood. And he says, I won't throw any blood towards any Avodah Zorah as a form of worship to this Avodah Zorah. Or Vale Sushness must also, nor will I carry their names on my lips. And that also ties in with yesterday's Sedra, the Pasuk in yesterday's Sedra, chapter Kaf Gimel, Pasuk with Gimel in Mishpatim, where the Pasuk says, V'shem Elohim Achirim, Lo Tazkiru, you shall not mention the names of other gods. Lo Yishama Apicha, they shall not be heard through your mouth. So Rashi on that Pasuk explains, looks like here, you shouldn't mention these names of only Avodah Zorah. You shouldn't say, to someone, for example, to use an idol worshipping temple as a landmark. I'll meet you at the temple. I'll meet you at the idol temple. You can't use that because you use that Shem Elohim. That's the Shem Elohim Achirim Lo Tazkiru. Don't mention the names of this Avodah Zorah. Remember, six months ago, in the Rav on the 25th of December, he gave a little share about whether you can use the word Christ, and he says you can't because it's a Greek word and it means Mashiach, and it's calling Yoshki the Mashiach, and therefore you can't use the word Christ. It means Mashiach.
That's right.
And I always say, if I have to give directions to someone, I always say, we're opposite the library. We're almost opposite the library, but I always say we're opposite the library. Yeah. So we'll go next door instead. The second part of that passage, Lo Yishama Apicha, passage in Mishpatim, Yishama Lehim Achim Yes Hazkiu, Lo Yishama Apicha, they should not be heard through you. It should not be heard through your mouth. Rashi on that passage says that the halacha is you shouldn't make a partnership with a non-Jew, a business partnership with a non-Jew, in case it leads to any financial disagreements, and he ends up swearing his case in court, and he'll swear by the name of his Avodah Zorah. Yeah? So, and you, therefore, you're the catalyst, you've caused that. Because you've made this business partnership in the first place, and therefore we're told that it's best not to make a business partnership with a non-Jew. Yeah, that's not the reason in here. Yeah, it can happen. And the main thing is, don't make him swear by his Avodah Zorah name. That's the idea. In the same way, in our famous Saskiba Shemakriha, that's exactly what in our apostle, where in our apostle here, David says, Uvalet Sot, Shemos, Master Paul saying, I won't carry their names on my lips. I won't speak about Avodah Zorah. I won't say any Avodah Zorah. Now, there's a very interesting piece of Targum here. The Targum translates Yibu Atzvosom as Maskon Salmon Lehu. Now, the word Maskon means to have a lot, like Yibu. It's a translation of Yibu. And Salmon Lehu, I have not got to the bottom of this word, and I'm torn between two possibilities. It's either an expression of darkness and dread, and it's similar to the word salmoves, and it means something bad. Or it's an expression of the word selem, which means an image. And I've seen the pshat in the pirush on Tilim of the Masad Rav Kook, where he translates Yibu Atzvosom. He says the word Atzvosom is related to the word Atzabehem. Now Atzabehem is a word that idols, exactly. 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 So the Masada Cook says, Yivu Atzvusom means they should have lots of eyeballs. What's the idea? It's David making fun of idol worshippers. Saying, hey, you like your idols? Yeah, go on, have a few more, gesinnt, help yourself, have as many idols as you like. It won't help you anyway. Yeah? That's Yivu Atzvusom. So it can either mean excess sadness, or like in Hallo, Atzadehem, idols. Yeah? Now the Targum, I can't quite make it out from the Targum. Maskon Talmon Nihon. My heart tells me that it's more related to the word idols, Atzadehem. You see that Targum there? Talmon Nihon. They're Salomim. They're idols. They're like a tzelem. Yes? They're images. And it's David making fun of the Eved Zarah. Yeah, go on, have a lot more. They take a lot more. And then the Malbim adds on to this that Atzvosom, he goes along with this as well. But it's a reference to idols. They should have lots and lots of idols. That says the Malbim, why is it put in the feminine Atzvosom? In Hallel we see it as Atzabehem. Yes, that is all. Atzabehem, but here Atzvosom with the Vav Sof plural is a feminine plural. So if the Malbim is making fun of idols, he's saying they're weak, they're like females. Yeah? So he says that he puts it in the feminine, even though really it wouldn't, according to normal rules of grammar, it would be a masculine. God puts it in the feminine in order to make fun of it. Yeah.
Probably
Atzabim. Atzabim, yeah. It's interesting because when Yivu is a masculine plural, and Atzvosom is a feminine plural. I've just realised that. So it's a bit of a mismatch there. Maybe the feminine plural will be Tirbeno, I think. Not sure about that. Yeah. The old Kutnam Louis brings another shot on the topic. He says as follows. He says it's not shot in the pocket, but it's a remes. A remes in the pocket. Yivu Atzvosom, sadnesses should increase. Acher Ma'oru, to those who are constantly hurrying towards Acher, another day. And he says it refers to someone who has enough money to live on for today, and he's worrying about tomorrow. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Take your life one day at a time. Don't work too hard to earn money for tomorrow if you've still got enough bread for today. You've got food for today. And that's actually Gemara, and I think it's in Gittin, and I didn't track it down. But a person shouldn't worry about, if you've got enough for today, don't worry too much about tomorrow. And he says this Acher Mahoru, it says not Shatan Ophit, but it's a Remet. The Acher means another day, or the day after. Another day. So don't worry about another day, you've got enough for today. The Mi'uri points out an amazing thing. You've got to be an expert in Tanakh to know this, and the Mi'uri knows that was. And then he says that the word Mahoru is very odd. Why? Let's take the first chat of Rashi, that it refers to hurrying up. Achem Ahuru, those who hurry after idols. He says, Mem Hei Resh, to hurry, is always used in the PL. In the PL grammatical form, it should be Miheru, they hurried up. Or like Vayamaharu, careful. Or like Vayamaharu. Or something like that. Or maher, all those words are meant to be hurry, but they're always used in the PL. So is the Mi'iri, this word mahoru is in the kaul, like shomoru, it's a causal form of shomoru, maharu, but it's in the kaul, the only thing it's in the kaul. So is the Mi'iri, wait for it, that this is the only occasion in Tanakh where this root is used in the kaul. Normally, the ratio is used in the PL. This is the only time in Tanakh it's used in the Kaf. Interesting. That's the only time. And he points out, and he also points out that this idea of throwing blood, of libating blood at an idol. Balasichnis came with God. I won't libate. I won't join in with their libations of blood. Says the Mi'iri, that's really odd. Usually, libations are wine. Certainly in the base of Mikdash, where we have Nisuch Hayayin, and at Sukkot we have Nisuch Hamayin, And in the non-Jewish world of the Zohar as well, it would be normally be a libation of wine. So what's going on here with the libation of blood?
They will offer children to this Molech,
and that's like blood.
Yes, blood. Oh, they
should.
I don't see that,
son. Yeah, I think it's not. And Molech is a form of Avodah Zarah. It's not pure Avodah Zarah. Molech is not pure Avodah Zarah, where they would offer up children, either by killing the children, burning them in fire, or by jumping over a fire that was in a small pit, or by walking between two fires. There are different versions of what Molech really is. And as far as I remember, when I learnt Hilchos Avodah Zarah with Josie, my brother-in-law, in the Rambam, I think he writes there that Molech is not quite Avodah Zarah, it's a separate history. It's related to Avodah Zarah, but it's not absolute Avodah Zarah, it's just some other form. So I haven't seen that shot on this record. Yeah, it is, yes. I haven't seen anyone who gives that shot on here.
It's mentioned on its own.
It's mentioned on its own. That's why it's separate from Avodah Zarah.
Exactly right. Exactly, yeah. That's very wrong. Who can tell us not to tell them? There's nothing but others who can tell us not to
do the Molech ritual.
As that says, it's separate. It's separate. Spot on. Yes. Oh. So,
deviant form of worship of Hashem? A deviant form?
Of Avodah Zarah?
No, the Molech. If it wasn't Avodah Zarah, is it something that Jews were doing as the deviant forms of what they should be doing?
I'm not sure if they were doing it or the heathens around them were doing it. I think a passage in Kedoshim which speaks about it refers to the heathens doing this, doing in Molech, and we're warned must not do this. Yeah.
Children,
wouldn't they? Yeah, they could burn the children. Although they didn't necessarily always burn them, according to some versions of Molech, they could just sort of jump over fire or walk between two fires, that sort of thing. Okay. The Meiri comments on this. He asked this question, what's going on if Balak Sechnis came with Dom, offering up libations of blood? Since when do you offer up blood, even to Avodah Zarah? When is blood offered to Avodah Zarah? Says the Meiri, it means where a person offers up, but the animal that he's offering up is stolen property. And it could even refer, if I understand the Meiri correctly, it could even refer to a person bringing a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the animal that he's offering up is stolen. And that's a big no-no. We thought, why are you dumping a stolen animal as a korban? What a terrible avera that is. That's what I've got about it. It's a terrible thing to do. Yeah? So he says, what's the connection with blood? He says, because if I understood the Meiri correctly, and I think I did, but I'm not certain, that it means that if a person steals, you're taking away from someone else. You're taking away they've worked hard, they've given up their body to earn money, and then you steal it, it's as though you're stealing their lifeblood. Because they've given of themselves in kosher to earn money, you steal that money, it's as though you're reducing their own blood supply, because they reduced their blood supply, or they reduced their energy in order to work, and now you're just taking it away from them. So he says, ah, sickness came with God, I won't join in any libation of stolen goods, which is as though I've taken away from someone else's blood. That's on the Meiri land. Yeah. The Radak brings on the end of the pasuk, of Al Esot Es Shemosam Al Sfatay, I will not carry their name upon my lips, I won't carry their names upon my lips, says the Radak, it's not referring to I won't say Avodah Zarah names, like we related to the pasuk in Mishpatim, V'shem Elohim Achirim Es Hazkiru Le'yeshana Al Picha, not that, says the Radak, but rather, I won't even say the names of people who worship Avodah Zarah. I'm not prepared to countenance a Rasha who says Avodah Zarah, and I'm not even prepared to say his name. That's the so Valet Sosha Mitzvah is not the name of the Avodah Zarah, it's the name of the people who serve the Avodah Zarah. That's the Radak. A sefer, I don't know where I've got the sefer from, I think I could find found it in a shameless box, a sefer called, this is normal, a sefer called Karban Toda, which is written by someone called Gedaliah Silverstone, who who came from Washington. And he said, very simple, he says, you who have said simple chat, Louis, this is especially for you, just before the share when you said more haste, less speed, and I said that's coming up in the share. So to Gedalia Silverstone and he says it's gone so dark, that's what the Pasuk says. Yirach says some acher mohoru. If you're chasing after something else, you'll end up with lots of sadnesses. He says it's more haste, less speed, you'll make a mistake. If you're rushing to do something, you'll make a mistake. Right. And yeah, and he quotes a Gemara which I have to tell you, I don't believe it, Gemara in Brachos, that's Kaf on the Galus. But it brings an amazing story. It's actually quite a humorous story. Story about Rav Abba bar Ahava. Chazye lehavu kutis. He saw a non-Jewish lady in the street that had a Slavisha who was wearing karbalta. I hope I pronounced that word correctly. Karbalta b'shukha. She was wearing a karbalta in the street. What's a karbalta? Different opinions as to what it was, but the consensus opinion is whatever it was not a tzniastic item of clothing. It's due to its colour. It seems to be a very bright colour, very bright, like a, I think the first one says it's like a bright red colour, which is not considered it attracts the eye. So it wasn't tzniastic. So far, Rav Abba bar Ahava thought to Vastisoni. He thought she was Jewish. She wasn't Jewish. Come, he quickly got up, carrying him off. He ripped him off her. He ripped off her head carrying off her. Yeah? Ignoring this, I'm going to put it transpired. The courtesy that she was a non Jew. And a non Jew, she's perfectly permitted to wear this.
So, Ethiopian,
I'm not sure. I don't know. The Gemara uses it to refer to a non Jewish person. Kuti. Well, in this case, Kuti. So he's therefore embarrassed her in the street. The basin ruled against him. The basin estimated that this lady's embarrassment comes to a price of 400 zuz, and you've got to pay her 400 zuz. And he did. He paid her 400 zuz. On my law, he said to her, at the court, or after the court case, he said to her, Mashmach, what's your name? On the lady, so she said to him, Matun, my name is Matun. Not Jewish name, my name is Matun. On Allah, so he said to her, Matun, Matun. He used the name twice. Says Rashi, the word Matun is very similar to the Aramaic word Mason, but Mem Aleph Sof Nun, which means 200. So he said, your name is Matun? I'll say your name twice. Matun, Matun, 2 times 200 is 400. And I'm paying you 400 zuz. Okay? Maybe he's trying to put her at ease or some form of apology or just making a pun on her name. Matun, Matun equals 400 zuz. Total 400 zuz. I don't know if this is Shabia, so that's why you're worth 400 zuz. I owe you 400 zuz. The Marshal Nikmore says that the price for removing the hair covering of a Jewish lady is 400 zuz. Yeah? If you take the head covering off a man, a Jewish woman, say in the Shittah Rabbi, so you owe her 400 zuz for Boshas, you've embarrassed her. And the basin says we're going to apply the same rule to this lady as well. Anyway, he makes it come on to Matzum, 200 times 2 is 400. But there's another pshat, also brought by Rashi, that the word Matzum means patient. Like the first mission in Pei Yavis, have you masunim badim? Masunim, you should be patient in judgment. Don't be rash, don't jump to a wrong conclusion. So he said to her, I was precipitous, or what's the word? I was a bit, I jumped in a bit too quickly. Who was rushing? Hasty, I was too hasty, thank you, I was too hasty.
I was too hasty.
I should have taken that time. I should have first considered. Maybe you're not Jewish, and so this item of clothing is perfectly permitted to you. Well, he obviously took it very strongly. She's not wearing smithic clothing. He's going to take it off her.
If it would have been a Jewish woman, what would have been the din there?
I don't know.
Maybe
he reckoned it's worth it. She's wearing smithic clothing. But even if she would have been Jewish, it would be strange. She's not Jewish, so I'm going to remove her non-spheristic covering, head covering, thereby revealing her hair. Even worse. Yeah, so for kasher, I don't know the answer.
Absolutely.
One other shatter in the Gemara is that this item of clothing contains shatness. So shatness, you gotta, you can't wear that at all, gotta take that off. Yeah. Because this space of carbon tazar says that the pasuk means you that space from achem mahori. If you're rushing to something, then you that space and you'll end up with lots of problems. And he says it's a message of more haste, less speed. So this Gemara is a story of more haste, less speed. He quotes this Gemara.
Fools rushing where angels fear to tread.
Exactly, that's it. Yeah. Let me finish.
So what's the name of the location?
Her name is Matun,
yeah.
And the word in Hebrew for patience is Messinus. Messinus, same root, Mem Sof Nun. Matun is Mem Sof Vav Nun.
Right,
okay. So he was saying, Matun, I should have been more patient. That's a lesson from the name. That should bring first chapter. And I wrote 200 Mosson, like the Hebrew Mosain, yeah? Either an expression of 200, and he said it twice, meaning 400, or an expression of patience, Messinus. Let me finish up with Don Gamora. Jonathan, it's done 10 o'clock. I'll just finish up with Don Gamora in Sanhedrin, which is on Bachamach on the base, where the Gamora is a halacha. We learn a halacha from our pasuk. And the Mishnah and the Gemara there in Sanhedrin, Tanakh, and they explain this halacha. What halacha? And then we get a bit of a shopping list of different forms of worship. Echot ha'uved, whether you serve the Avodah Zarah, the Echot ha'mezabeach, or whether you sacrifice, the Echot ha'mekaseh, or whether you offer up incense, the Echot ha'menaseh, or whether you light dates, the Echot ha'mishtachah, that's an oblation of wine, the Echot ha'mishtachah, whether you bow down, the Echot ha'mekabler alav le'eloah, or whether someone accepts the Avodah Zarah upon himself as a deity. The Ha'om alone says to this Avodah Zarah, Eviyata, you're my God. All those cases, a person is chayav nisa for the Avodah Zarah. But hamagape is someone who hugs Avodah Zarah. You hug an idol. Do you understand that? You hug an idol, yeah? Vamanashe, or you kiss an idol. Vamachabe, or you sweep up in front of the idol, so you're cleaning the area. I think that's what it means. Vamarabe, I think that means someone who settles the dust around an idol. Again, to clean up. Vamarache, so you wash it. V'hasoch, or you anoint the idol. V'amodish, or you put clothes on the idol. V'amamel, or you put a shoes on the idol. In those cases, over the losase, for sure you've transgressed the losase, but there's no chiyuv misa. So the Gemara asks a question. Ask the Gemara, my echot ha'oved, what's the idea about echot ha'oved? Why do you have this long shopping list of different forms of service? We've covered it all with the opening word for the Mishnah. Ha'oved avodas kachodim. You serve the Avodah Zarah, and it says Echot Ha'oved. The first item on the list is Echot Ha'oved. Whether you serve it, or whether you do this, that, or the other. So why the repetition? Echot Ha'oved surely should be a catch-all statement which covers everything. So the Gemara explains, no. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it doesn't matter what the service is. Sorry, I didn't say that clearly. There are certain forms of worship which carry a chiyuv misa, and they are the standard forms of worship which also are paralleled in our service in the Beis Mikdash. And they are sacrificing animals, libating wine, bowing down, offering up incense. And I think that's the list. Those four will carry a chiyuv misa if a person does them to another desire. But there are other forms of worship which are specialized forms of worship to particular Avodah Zarah. So some forms of, so one Avodah Zarah might be to go and kiss it. Now this idol, the manner of worship of one particular idol is to kiss it. Another manner of worship is to hug it. So when the Mishnah starts off with the expression of the Echad HaOded, means if you perform the form of worship special to that Avodah Zarah, then a person is Chayav Nisah. Supposing a person were to kiss an idol whose form of worship is to hug, he's not Chayav Nisah for that. Or you hug an idol whose form of worship is to kiss, no Chayav Nisah for that. But for any idol, the bowing down, the libation, the animal sacrifice, and the libations, and the anything, and the tatoas, offering up incense, any form of idol for that always carries a Chayav Nisah. Even if it's not the standard form of worship. And then the Mishnah goes on to discuss really strange idol worship. For example, there's one idol called the Marakulis. And the Marakulis idol was worshipped by chucking stones at it. So if you throw a stone at an idol, you would say, and I would say, I'm throwing a stone at an idol in order to abuse the idol. Ah, but if it's a Marakulis idol, that's the standard form of worship, as it's done deliberately with the Avodah Zarah in mind, that it carries a Chayav Nisah. And the strangest of all is the Baal Pa'ur idol. Exactly. They were defecating in front of the Baal Pa'ur. Yeah? So you would say, defecating to an idol is the greatest insult you can do to the idol. Yes. Most idols, yes. But not the Baal Pa'ur. So, if a person with the intention of worshipping it in the manner, for sure, be a Chayav Nisah, even though by definition it's an abusive act. Yeah, it's exactly.
There was a time when the priests turned their back on the base of Mikdash and defecated.
The halacha is that so let's summarize halacha. If your person were to perform the specialist form of avodah, irrespective of what it is, then he's Chayav Nisah. And on top of that, if a person were to do any of the standard forms of worship that we tend to have, bowing down, libation, animal sacrifice, and thank you, and offering incense, thank you, then again there's a Chayav Nisah for that. Now, the Gemara then asks a simple question. The Lech Shov Nami Zorek. Why didn't the Mishnah include the standard form of Avodah that we have in the Beis HaMikdash of throwing blood onto the Mizbeach? Then if a person was to throw blood at an idol, he'd be Chayav Nisah for that. Surely that's one of our standard forms of Avodah, and therefore, if translated and transferred onto Avodah Zarah, surely that should be a form of idol worship that should carry a Chayav Nisah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, yes, it does. So why didn't the Mishnah include it? And here's the punchline. Zorek, Hainu Menaseich. The Mishnah did include Menaseich, which is libation of wine. Says the Gemara, Zorek is equal to Menaseich. It has exactly the same definition as Menaseich. In the same way that the Mishnah did include Menaseich, if a person had to eat wine, he would be Chayav Nisah. So too, if a person were to throw blood at an idol, he would be Chayav Nisah. But Abbas Abbas equates Zorek throwing blood with Nisah, with libating wine. What's his proof? Dichtiv, because of a pasuk, and it's our pasuk. Dal asich niskehem midom. That was said, I will not libate their libations of blood. So he's used an expression of nisuch, asich niskehem, which is normally referring to nisuch and usually refers to wine, but he's used it in conjunction with blood. Sefaneh, the Gemara, Sefaneh, Abaya, and the Gemara says, there you are. We can use the word nisuch about blood. And therefore, throwing blood equates to nisuch and carries an equal chiyuv of nisuch as the best way to do it to an avodah zarah. So it's a halacha. It's rare that we learn halachas from our pesukim. Like we learn lots of other things, but it's rare we learn halacha. Here, this is a halacha. Halacha, if a person were to throw blood at an avodah zarah, any avodah zarah, it counts as a form of idol worship, which should carry chiyuv of nisuch, d'oraisa. Why? Because it's identical and equates to nisuch, throwing or libating wine. And we'll leave it there.
And remember, exactly.
He used the expression of nisuch, asich nisken, but not in connection with wine, in connection with blood. And therefore we see that blood will count as a nisuch, and therefore a person who has nisuch, the same blood as another desire. Do you have to learn?
The terrible things that were going on in the chambers within the Beis Hamikdash secretly. They were doing Avodah Zarah secretly. And then they became blatant. This thing, it was turning to the east with the back to the
this way.
The first time Nebuchadnezzar expels the Jews from the first exile, he appointed a king to look after the Jews and keep them under control. And you think his hiding the Jews who were left by Nebuchadnezzar and to learn their lesson. They were still doing it about the Zara, even worse. In the secret chambers, they had walls adorned with the Avodah Zara, and finally they did this. It was less important, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And that's what it was.
So
they're
using
the Avodah Zara
by doing this?
Yes, it's the first temple. First that led to it. So we learned. So we learned that they weren't serving Hashem with the simple. They weren't saying brachas before loving the dead. But also, there was a word of Zorah in the temple.
That's right. So people always, she has stormed in Avodah Zorah. The three causes.
The destruction.
This makes sense.
The form of Avodah Zorah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry? I've got the key, yeah. I love it.